This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. On our episode today, I have two guests that I'm excited are joining us because it's the first time we're going to be talking to anybody north of the border, more specifically from Canada. I have with us today Roger Grove, who is the Executive Director for Motor Vehicles and Registry Administration at Service Alberta. And we also have Renee DeLille. And I'm going to say Renee's title, and all of you listening and Renee herself can make fun of my French because it's not my strong point. Renee's a director at the Société de l'Assurance Automobile du Québec.
Not that bad, yeah.
Not that bad. All right. Okay. We're working on that. So I'm excited to have Renee and Roger. Welcome. Renee is also a member of our Region 1 Board of Directors. Roger is a member of the Region 4 Board of Directors and most recently has joined our International Board of Directors as the Canadian Jurisdiction Representative. So we're excited not only to have them from Alberta and Quebec, but also very involved AMVA members. So Renee and Roger, welcome to your first time on the AMVAcast.
Thank you.
So one of the reasons we really wanted to talk to both of you, like I say, from north of the border, those folks that have been listening to our AnvaCast episodes know there's been a recurring theme, not surprisingly, talking to agencies about how they've been responding in the wake of the pandemic and the COVID crisis. And we've heard a lot from our different U.S.-based agencies on how they're doing that. And I thought it might be interesting to hear another perspective or to hear how similar it is to see how it's affected your service, your delivery of services to customers, everything from branch hours and services online. I know many of you have been talking to many of our members over the months as well, and you could perhaps tell us where you've seen some of those similarities or differences. Again, not so much about, you know, how the pandemic is, but really about what it's meant for your agency operations. Roger, could we start with you? Can you tell us kind of, you know, how has Service Alberta been impacted by responding to the pandemic?
Sure. Thanks, Ian. You know, we've been doing quite a bit here in Service Alberta because one thing we find through AMVA, but through this pandemic is there's so many differences between the jurisdictions and how we apply policy and processes, but we all have the same issues and things to deal with. So I think what we've been doing here is very similar to what's been happening throughout the United States and in other areas of the country. At the very beginning, there was a lot of unknown in regard to COVID and what it meant, how to deal with it. And so we as a jurisdiction really had to hunker down and figure out how do we deal with this and yet still provide these essential services. So we had a lot of offices that in Alberta, just for reference, it's fully privatized, the delivery piece. So that adds a different complexity for us compared to government run offices. So we had to work with our stakeholders to really help them develop best practices for ensuring Albertans and staff in their offices would be safe and secure. So a few offices had to voluntarily close until they got all the PPE in place. But otherwise, for the bulk, it was very quickly determined that motor vehicle services were essential in the province. So they had to remain and keep operating. So we as the government had to keep working with the private offices to help keep them open, support them. We had to work to find different ways to provide services that didn't require people to come into the offices. So we've developed policies, processes to have a few more remote services, and we're really trying to look at how do we expand our online.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Roger. And I want to go back to some of that, the public-private partnership that you have in Alberta, because I'm not sure most people really appreciate or understand that structure. But first, I want to go over ahead and ask Renee maybe to give a little summary of how Quebec's operations have been impacted or changed or stayed the same during this time.
Okay, first of all, I want to apologize if during the interview I stumble upon some words, because English is my second language, so please excuse me in advance. In Quebec, we closed every office pretty early, as early as mid-March, and we start reopening some services in April, for emergency services worker. So during that time, we were working for from home I don't have exactly the number. I think it's about 80% of our staff was working from home in the first few weeks that we had to adjust to everything. And our branch offices were all closed except for some specific services, which was regarding people who were working in essential services. So after that, after the third week of April, we started doing more and more of business and reopening. But our organization is quite different from Alberta. We have one third, we have 44 branches, offices, and we do have almost 100 third parties offices, but they don't do any of the testing. They just do permits and licensing. So the branches were closed longer than we were. So we had a big backlog that was piling up really quickly. So we had to deal with that. And for some of you, you know that we are in the middle of our modernization, developing our systems. So we needed to speed up our IT practices to move more quickly to online services so people could get some services without coming in our office. So, and by doing that, we needed to manage closely the road safety issues that we have and client services. So we were in those balances with all of that to make sure that we reopen our services in a timely manner and in order.
So in that shift to moving more of the services online, did you do that all internally, or did you partner with some third-party business partners to be able to add enhancements to your online services?
We did it mostly online, in-house.
In-house, wow.
Yes. We do have some very old IT systems. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a challenge, and we had some online services to book appointments for driving tests, the written and the skills test, but we didn't have any appointments for other than those two types of appointments. And now we're almost all the time on appointments. We do have walk-ins, but only for we don't assure that if you're a walk-in, you will get your service that day. But we needed to develop very quickly that part of the online services, which was the booking part.
So did either of you find, because Roger, you also mentioned you moved some things online quickly. Did you find that you were speeding up the entry of online services that you were already planning on doing? Or did it force you to say, hey, we never thought of doing this online, and now we have to, we could, we should, so let's go ahead and do it?
Well, from Alberta's perspective, there's a lot of things. We want to get as much online as we can, but you still have within reason to be able to do it, because everything to move online, there's other constraints to take into account, such as the resourcing to be able to do it, plus it costs money to do it. So we gotta do things in the right order. So we tried to move things online, but we also looked at what else can we do to find alternate delivery methods while we're trying to work on online, such as how do we do services through email? How do we do services? Even adding fax back in, you know, we try to get rid of fax, but in a time when you want to get, don't want people to come to the office,
So you went back and started promoting fax-based transactions again after having trying to sunset them for so many years?
It just became another channel to help Albertans to not have to come into the office. So what definitely isn't our number one choice.
Well, I'm impressed that you still have enough working fax machines. There's a lot of places now where you can't even get those things anymore. So tell us, go keep telling us more. You brought back some fax transactions, and the other places you were moving to included
email. We added email. We even added the ability to do some more services over the phone. We tried to look into using Skype type services, but we've got very, very strong privacy legislation in Alberta. So there's other things I'd need to move forward with and have the certain applications reviewed before I could get to use something like Skype or FaceTime. So we're just not there yet, but it definitely has sped up the conversations on some of these items that we've wanted to get to.
And what about you, Renee? You know, when you mentioned those services online, I'm always curious whether these were things that were in the pipeline and this kind of really invigorated the timeline to get them through the pipeline, or it was a moment of, wow, we really hadn't thought about putting it online, so let's go ahead and do it.
Most of our services was in the pipeline, as you say, for our modernization systems. But some of the things we had to do on our old system that was just temporary, and it was just because of the pandemic, just as an example, we decided that if you were when we issue a driver's license, it's good for 8 years without taking another picture. And we decided that for those people who needed to get their picture taken during the pandemic times, we will be reusing the old one instead of making them come in the office and take pictures and reissuing a new driver's license. So they will get a new driver's license with a new issue dates, but with the old pictures. So that was one of the things that we did that we're not going to do in our new system, but that's one of the things that we did. And we are also issuing our ELF cards in Quebec. And we did the same thing with those cards as we do with the driver license. But as Roger said from Alberta, we do have very, very strong privacy laws. So we couldn't do stuff like emails because it was not secure enough. And we were we didn't go for fax, but we did more transaction on phone. And that was the kind of things that we did to make more of our services available for our clients.
And so how have both of you seen your customers respond? Are they adapting to these new methods? Are they accepting of new ways to interact? Are they longing for the way they did it previously and they want to get, they want to have that in-person contact? Are you seeing any trends or reactions?
In Alberta, what I found is, the hardest part was getting the messaging out to Albertans to know these new alternate channels to communicate and get services. And those that were participating in them, there seemed to be good adoption and acceptance of it because it was a solution they were looking for to not have to go in person. So from the public side, I think it was well received. From our service provider side, it was a very different process, and it wasn't as easy as having somebody stand in front of you. So they found challenges in using some of these different methods, because with somebody in front of you, they can show you all the identification and everything they need, and out they go. Over the phone, via email, it can be more challenging to validate the identity of the individual to make sure that you're providing the right service to the right person.
How about in Quebec?
We did a survey on our clientele for the first 2 months of our new ways to deliver services, which from the mid-March to mid-May, and we had quite good results. Some of the people were complaining a little bit about our disponibility, like they wanted a certain type of appointments and it was not available as quickly as they imagined. But when we explained that it was because of all the sanitary measure and that we have less counter available for everything, whether it was written exam or just to get a transaction. So people were getting, were okay with that. They were really pleased with all the measures that were taking in our different branches. And I think that some of the people would like to get back to walk-ins more than appointment-based, but I think that appointments will be there for a while because mm-hmm. it's easier. And as long as we do have physical distancing that is required, our offices are not big enough to have all those people in and in respect of this, the distance between people. But with winter approaching, we do have challenges on that side because we don't want them to line up outside if they are walk-ins and mm-hmm. it's cold outside. So that's the thing that we're working on for now. But people are adjusting. We have very few cases that we needed that we had really bad reaction from our customers. Some of them were frustrated because they had to go there early in the morning to get the walk-ins appointments. So now we were getting the message out that if you want to make sure to have your service that day, you need to take an appointment. So the word is going on and it's getting better, but people are not used to that. So some folks really want that contact one-on-one. And most of our offices can accommodate a lot of walk-ins because they are smaller offices. We do have a bigger issue in some, I would say about five of our biggest offices. They do have lots of transaction there. So it's more challenging for them.
And how about your workforces? How have your teams of employees held up with the changes to how they do business, changes in office operations? How have you managed through the workforce issues? Renee, maybe you want to go first and we'll let Roger talk about that.
Okay. A lot of people did things that they don't do normally. Like something I didn't mention at first, at the beginning of the crisis, our employees that was not required to do their normal job, I would say, they were working on the phone services for the COVID line to give general information to the public. So for the first almost 2 months, a lot of people were working there. At first, it was in our office, and then it started to go more and more from home. So some people liked that very, very much. Some people didn't because it was very different. That what they're normally do. But some people really like that. And you have to consider that in Quebec, all the schools were closed and the daycare center was closed. So a lot of people had to stay home to take care of their children. So they were out of the workforce. So we have to bring in more people from outside. We tried to recruit our retiree people, some new people that we had to train very quickly so they can be functional. And when we started to have some booking system, we had people on the phone calling the people who had appointments and they were canceled at the beginning because of the closing of our offices. So a lot of people were doing calls and general calls and specific calls from the Société de l'assurance de du Québec. And it was different from people to people. If you were normally working with people on the line or at the counter, it was easier than when you were like doing back office normally and now you would do front mm-hmm. On the line. So it was some challenge from some people, but as time went by, people were getting back to their normal job, I would say. So people from the front line were still doing front line, but people from the back office started doing back office stuff. So, as the summer approached, people were very tired. So when vacation season started, I think people were very exhausted and they really needed their vacation. So I think that things will get, I wouldn't say back to normal, but people are adjusting well to their new reality.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all had to learn how to flex and change what we maybe used to do in our schedules. And you're absolutely right about the summer exhaustion and now gearing up for the fall. Roger, any employee workforce management observations in Alberta that you might shed some light on?
Well, very early when this all started hitting, we told all our employees who could work from home to go home and work from there. Well, we tried to figure out this COVID and what did it mean and how is the world going to change? And, you know, it's our IT people did an absolutely amazing job in such a short period of time getting everybody set up so they could work at home, whether they took their desktop from their work location or they had remote access already. So we really had a nice seamless transition. There was a couple of days when everybody's moving, but otherwise everybody got home and started right back at work in safe zones of their house very quickly. So we were lucky and we had the same challenges that Renee was talking about, where all the schools were shut down, daycares, everything was shut down in Alberta except essential services. And so the people had to worry about how do I homeschool my kid who's trying to take distance learning that has never been done before, as well as watch them as well as do my job. So it's been interesting. It was eerie because I went home for 2 weeks and then came back to the office because nobody was here. I could easily keep physical distancing. And then there was about two or three of us here and that was it. Usually there's 50, 60 in the office. So, but mail still comes in from Albertans that we have to deal with. So we had to physically have somebody here to deal with that. The province has a really nice, well-defined back plans to get everything back up and moving. And people have started coming back to work as of August. And I'm probably 85% of my staff here now. And we have all the necessary PPE things in place to ensure staff safety. So we feel good as an organization that we've got our staff taken care of.
Well, that's exciting that you're able to bring them back in, and certainly hope that all works out smoothly. Roger, I want to go back to where, you know, something you said at the beginning, because I'm not sure a lot of people really understand or know about the structure in Alberta, which does sound to perhaps partner with the private sector more than we maybe see in a lot of other jurisdictions. So could you maybe give us the one-on-one at a very high level? You know, what is the role that, say, the government side plays in delivering the services, and how you partner with the private industry in Alberta to deliver the motor vehicle services to your citizens?
Sure. So on the government side, we really are the regulators and the reviewers of the program and the policy setters. Many, many years ago, all the service delivery for DMV-related services were outsourced to the private sector. And that was the first services that were outsourced, was all motor vehicles. And it worked so well because we no longer had to deal with 1,500 employees, 200 locations, all the and everything that goes along with it, that other government areas and registries were looking at doing the same thing. So over the years, these privatized registry agents that we have really are kind of a one-stop shop for most government services. So you go there for anything driver vehicle related, you go in there for anything, any vital certificates you need, corporate register, personal property, land titles, health registrations, you name it, the list goes on. They do about 300 different services for government. So from a public standpoint, it's, if you need to find something, 9 times out of 10, you just go to a registry agent and they'll be able to provide it for you. And they're all 100% privatized. We have the legislation and policies they follow, and we have governance in place to make sure that we monitor their performance that they do what they're supposed to do. And it's a very, very good relationship that we have here in this province.
And I suppose, Renee, that's a contrast to Quebec, where, you know, from the sounds of it, it's more government delivering it directly to the citizens and less partnering with the private sector there.
Yeah, you're right. Private sector is involved in all of registration for the vehicle, but only privately owned vehicle, I would say, not like RRP trucks and stuff like that. And you can go and pay your driver's license renewal or your license renewal, but they don't take pictures for you to get your driver's license. So it's a little bit different. And we do have Service Quebec, which is a little bit like Roger said, from Alberta, which do some of the work for us, and they do other services, but it's just a few of our, we call them our branches, even though it's not our employee, it's government employee.
Got it. Well, and it sounds like you're both holding up quite well during all these times. Roger, it sounds like you went home for 2 weeks and have been back in the office ever since. I hope there was a summer holiday somewhere in there as well, where you were able to catch your breath.
Oh yeah, it's great. We're big campers, so there's lots of beautiful areas in the province. So we've been out camping a lot. That's one of the things you can do.
That's great. And Renee, you as well, you and your family have been safe and well during all these times.
Yes, and contrary to what's going on in Alberta, in Quebec, we are not close to going back to work. If you're not in the front line, like in our branch office, there is no one at work. I've been there yesterday afternoon just for a quick meeting with my boss, and it feels like a Sunday early morning every time I go there. And since mid-March, I've been to my office 4 times only. And government issued, I would say it's not mandatory, but they recommended not to have more than 25% of your working force in government buildings. So it's not, I don't know when we'll go back to work at the office, honestly. But things have been good. Most of our employees haven't got COVID. Maybe you heard about Quebec's situation. It was one of the provinces that was more affected mm-hmm. by the pandemic, but it was basically older people, I would say. But in Société de l'assurance automobile du Québec, not a lot of people were affected directly by it. So I think that the measures that we took were good. So I think that's why they're going to keep them on for a little while. Mm.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's a very similar, whether it's U.S. or Canada, the geographic differences of both where it's hit, as well as, you know, in this case where, you know, Roger's going to have a lot of his team back in the office and Quebec is not at that point yet. I think we see the same similarities probably throughout the whole world, but certainly in the U.S. and Canada. Well, Roger, Renee, I really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to chat with us. Really appreciate your continued engagement and involvement with the AMVA community and the AMVA governance structures, and glad you can share your thoughts with our listeners today.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Ian. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you all for listening. Thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you on the next episode of the AMVAcast. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey. Music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.